Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Parenting is a really hard job, isn't it?
It is a hard job. I mean, just the idea of being responsible for the care and development of another human being is an awesome responsibility, almost overwhelming at times. And it's all-encompassing, too. It is 24/7 all the time. And because of that, as a result, as parents, we're not always at our best. And that sometimes can lead to some interesting or awkward encounters or situations that we get into. I heard a story not too long ago about a pastor who, it was Sunday afternoon, he was done at church, and all he wanted to do was just relax and read a book. And so he grabbed his four-year-old son, and they went off to the local community pool. And his son could swim, and he could just sit there and read his book in peace. Well, every so often, his son would come up to him and say, "Dad, I've got to go to the bathroom." And so he'd grab him, and he'd take the long march up this big hill to where the bathroom house was, and they'd go to the bathroom, and he'd come back. And the son would come back again, "Dad, I have to go to the bathroom." Back up the hill again to go to the bathroom. So this happened three or four times. And finally, fifth time, the son comes, "I've got to go to the bathroom." And dad's like, he's had enough. He's like, "All right, son, come here. Come here, listen. Just this once, just this time, it's okay to pee in the pool. It's okay." So he goes back to his book. The kid goes, "Okay," and goes off. 30 seconds later, you just hear screaming. He gets up, he looks, and there's his son standing on the edge of the pool, peeing into the pool. And he gets up and he's running. He's running, "What are you doing, son?" And the son yells back, "But Dad, you told me to." I don't know how you recover from that one. We have those encounters where we're just not always on our game. We had one this week. It was 4th of July. We were headed to a family picnic. And we have my little daughter, Olivia, in the car. And about halfway there, we see she gets car sick. And she starts vomiting all over herself. So we pull off to the side of the road. We're quickly trying to get her out of the seat, passing her back and forth, and trying to clean out the car seat. And we realize we're starting to get some vomit on ourselves as well. So we finally get her cleaned up as best we could, back in the car seat. We drive the rest of the way there. We pull into the driveway. I open the van door, all over herself, all again. Same thing, passing her back and forth, trying to clean out the car seat, trying to get stuff off of her. So we were already late to this party because of naps. So then the three of us show up in this party, all covered in various forms of vomit, late. You just have some of these things. Parents and children, the dynamic is just unique and unusual. And so we're going to lean into that dynamic of the parents and their relationship with children in our passage today as it relates to God and as it relates to us. So we're in the middle of the book of Hebrews. This is our summer study on the second half of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to be in chapter 12 today. Just a little bit of reminder background. This book was written to Jewish believers, those who have been Jewish and are coming into faith with Jesus. And they were struggling. They were a struggling group. And there are kind of two themes that kind of come out of the book of Hebrews, larger themes that emerge. One is that Jesus is greater. And the other one is that we don't want to lose what you've got by turning away from Jesus. So today's passage, we're going to be focusing kind of on the second theme. Don't lose what you've got. Because they were struggling. They were struggling. They were wrestling. Their faith was being challenged. And they were wrestling with temptation. That temptation of turning back to their former way of life. And they were struggling with hardship. There was pressure on them. There was persecution. And there was difficult circumstances. And they were contemplating their faith and contemplating going back on their faith. And so in our passage today, the author of Hebrews is going to give them a strong lesson, some vigorous encouragement, if you will. It's going to knock them upside the head a little bit. And if we're paying attention, it should resonate with us as well. Because though time has passed, people are still people. And a lot of the things that challenged their faith back then still challenge our faith today. That idea of temptation still challenges our faith. Temptation both out there in the world and that comes from within us. And also hardship. Whenever we experience difficulty, that challenges our faith. And so as the author addresses the Hebrews, we're going to look at how very needed this message is in our lives as well. So we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 4. And it starts out right off the bat talking about this temptation aspect. In your struggle against sin. In your struggle against sin. So the author, right from the start, is acknowledging sin is still a struggle. Even for believers, even for those who follow Jesus, sin is still a struggle. It still affects us. And getting rid of sin is still an ongoing and ever-present process within our lives. See, we all have those moments where we fail, where we don't measure up. We fail ourselves. We fail our friends and our families. And we let down God. We all know that there are things about us that we know need to change. Those habits that are constantly getting in our way of making progress. Those thought patterns that constantly keep coming up that are taking us to bad places. The attitudes that are keeping us from being the person we want. And the behaviors which are constantly threatening our relationships. Things are not as they need to be. And we know it. And God knows it. So the author of Hebrews is going to speak to this. He's going to speak to us about this. And he's going to quote from Proverbs chapter 3. And he says this. He says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." So as we struggle with sin, God comes in and he disciplines us. Continues at the beginning of verse 7. He says, "Endure hardship as discipline." Endure hardship as discipline. Okay, so here we have the two main things that often challenge our faith: temptation, sin, and hardship. And in the middle of our struggle with those things, God responds to us with discipline. What is going on here? Now, to explain what's happening, the author of Hebrews is going to lean in heavily into this analogy of parents and children to help us understand what's happening here, what's happening with God, and what he's doing in our lives. He's going to talk to us about parents and children. So, continuing on with verse 7, it says this: God is treating you as his children. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? All right, show of hands. How many of you at any point in your life have been disciplined by your parent or guardian? How many? Okay, now, also, how many of you have disciplined a child at some point in your life? Yeah, okay, this is basically everybody, all right? So this is a concept, this idea of parents, children, and discipline is a concept we should all be very familiar with. Now, believe it or not, I myself have experienced parental discipline. It might be hard for some of you to believe, but it's true. One particular instance, I was in school and I had failed to do my homework. I don't quite remember why. And In school, I told my teacher that I had just written down the assignment wrong in my notepad, to which she promptly checked my notepad and found out that that was not true. I just didn't do it. And I don't know if your parents were like this, but my parents had the 2-for-1 rule, where if you get in trouble at school, you also get in trouble at home. I don't know why we're doubling up on this, but it happens all the time. And so I got in so much trouble. I got disciplined like you would not believe over that incident. It's not so much fun to be disciplined. But that leads us to the question of, why do parents discipline their kids? Why do parents discipline their kids? Now, there's lots and lots of reasons, but 3 kind of broad categories that I have that I want to look at today is, 1, dangers you want them to avoid. You discipline your kids because there's dangers you want them to avoid. Like I said, I have a 17-month-old daughter, and she has been walking for a couple months now. And oftentimes in the evenings, we live in Lancaster City, she would want to go on walks along the sidewalk of the streets. And so we'll take her along, and we'll walk along, and she'll practice her walking, and she loves, you know, trying to get into neighbors' yards and that sort of thing. But I have to hold her hand while we're doing it, and she doesn't always like that. She wants to say, I can do this on my own. I can do this. So she'll try and slap my hand and start running off. And I have to run back and grab her and tell her, this is you. If you want to walk, you have to hold hands. Because she's not aware of street danger and is not equipped to deal with it in that moment. So I have to discipline her because there's dangers out there that she's not prepared for. 2nd reason parents discipline kids, there is a person that they want them to become. There's a person you want your kids to become. I think every parent wants their kids to be able to get along with other kids, to be able to get along with other people, to be able to make friends and build relationships. And so one of the things parents often discipline their kids about is the idea of sharing. Whenever kids don't want to share, we come in and we discipline them because we want them to be someone who can get along with others. And then thirdly, there's the idea of areas that need correction. It's kind of a subset of the 2nd one, but it's a little bit different. Areas that need correction. Sometimes in your kid's life, you see something in there that needs to be addressed, that needs to be corrected. That's what my parents were doing with me when I started lying to my teachers. Like, no, we got to stop that. That can't happen. And so parents discipline their kids. Now, to boil all this down, over here you have the person your child is currently. And then here you have the person you want them to be. And there's a gap between here and there. And in order to fill that gap, one of the things you do is you discipline your kids so that you get them from here to here. Now, the same thing is true of us when it comes to our relationship with God. How God treats us. See, there is the person we are now, the person we are here. And then there's the person that God has called us to be, that he's created to be. And in between here is a gap. And so God comes in and he disciplines us because he's trying to get us from here to here. Because there are dangers in our lives that we're not always aware of that need to be addressed. There's the person that God wants us to be. And there are areas of our lives that need correction. So like a good parent, God disciplines us because he loves us. And in fact, discipline is foundational to the parent-child relationship. It's foundational. Hebrews 12:8 says this. It says, if you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. You are not true sons and daughters at all. Disciplining children is foundational to the relationship. In fact, that is how we know that we are sons and daughters of God, when he disciplines us. Isn't that exciting? We get to be disciplined. He continues in verse 10. He says, they discipline us, meaning parents, discipline us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. He disciplines us for our good. That God is working in us and he's working on us to make us holy. Now, this word holy can be a little difficult sometimes, but basically what we're talking about is to be set apart, to be dedicated, to be consecrated to God. So God is trying to purify you. He's trying to cleanse you. He is trying to make you more like himself. He's trying to get you from here to here. But for that to happen, God needs to discipline us. And the problem for us, we don't really like to be disciplined, do we? Children never do. I have never heard a child say, "Mom and Dad, thank you so much for taking away my dessert. It really helped me learn the value of eating peas. I would not have understood the value of eating peas had you not taken away my dessert. So I'm just so thankful for you for that discipline." That never happens. That never happens. And we don't change much as adults, do we? Now, the author acknowledges this reality. He says, look, no discipline is ever seems pleasant at the time, but painful. We hate receiving discipline because it's hard, it's painful, it's unpleasant, it's challenging. And we as humans have trouble with the reality, the terrible reality, that any progress requires some level of suffering, hardship, and uncomfort. We want to eat healthier, but kale just tastes like wet sadness. We want to get in shape, but that means you like actually have to go to the gym or run or something. We want a better marriage, but then we kind of like have to admit that we're wrong. We want to give up that addiction, but old habits are so hard to break. And new ones are so hard to start. We don't like being pushed. We don't like being stretched. We don't like being challenged. We don't like being corrected, and we don't like being uncomfortable. Nobody likes hearing that what they're doing is wrong. Nobody likes hearing that they're headed towards danger. Nobody likes the idea that something inside them needs to change. We see this in kids all the time. Resistance to discipline is kind of like a competitive sport among kids and teens. They're very good at it. But we are the same. So we resist discipline. And those untidy parts, those sinful tendencies, those immature areas of our lives push back and don't want to submit to God. Have you seen this in your own life? Are there areas that God has tried to address, that he's tried to correct with you, that you find yourself resistant to? Or maybe you've started making a change and you just feel yourself resisting that change. So we're tempted to push back, tempted to resist, tempted to bristle at God's discipline. And this is true in the church all the time. I was with some fellow church leaders a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about the idea of church discipline. That's one of the roles the church has in people's lives, is to help them and to discipline them at times. And many churches have protocols for or ways to do that specifically. And so I was talking to my colleagues, and I'm like, how many times have you ever seen this actually work? Where the church disciplines somebody, and they respond, and it becomes a success story. And we could all count on a total of one hand the amount of times we've seen it work. Because so often when discipline comes into somebody's life, they'll do things like leave the church. Sometimes they'll even leave faith rather than change. And when we resist discipline, we run the risk that those areas of our lives remain unchanged, unaddressed, and sin proliferates in our lives. And this puts us in the danger zone. How many of you are familiar with the Back to the Future series? In the second Back to the Future series, Marty McFly gets a chance to go into the future and sees his future self. And what he sees is incredibly disappointing because of what's happened to him an area of his life, in particular his ego, was never addressed. Anyone could manipulate him just by calling him chicken. And it caused him to make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. He gets to see the consequences in his life of an unaddressed area. And what he sees isn't pretty. Now, we all know people, maybe even you, who have seen their unacknowledged, uncorrected flaws derail their lives. Unresolved past anger has wrecked present relationships. Addiction has cost jobs or even freedom. That hidden sin has cost a marriage. Or maybe the person has just never become the person that God has wanted them to be. Or even seen people walk away from faith. A while ago, I was doing this writing program where you're supposed to write about your future, and it gives you various prompts and questions. And one of the questions was really fascinating. It says, assume in the future that everything has gone wrong for you, that you've failed. What does that look like and what led to it? And it's a fascinating question to think about, because it makes you think about the untidy parts of yourself. It makes you think about your own flaws, your own sin, the things that have the potential in your life to wreck you. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. If you were to project out in your future and things went terribly wrong for you, what would be the cause? What are the things in your life right now that have the potential to send you off a cliff? Here's the thing. God doesn't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. God loves you too much. You are his son. You are his daughter. He doesn't want to see that happen to your life. So he disciplines you. So what does God's discipline look like? How does God discipline us? Well, there's a number of methods God uses. There's a number of things he does to discipline us. It can be direct conviction of the Holy Spirit. He can use the church to discipline us. He can use friends and other believers as methods of discipline. But the one he mentions specifically in this passage is hardship. Endure hardship as discipline. So let's take a look at how hardship can be used to discipline us. And there's kind of two kinds of hardship. The first one is hardship that happens to us, and the other one is hardship that we cause. So let's look at hardship that happens to us. Now, these are difficult circumstances that we did not cause that put a strain on us. And whenever that strain comes in and we're under that pressure, we're under that hardship, oftentimes what happens is it will reveal parts of us that haven't yet been made holy. Now, when Olivia was first born, we being brand new parents had all the new parent stress, all the lack of sleep. And there were some days where she would just cry and cry and cry and cry. And I gotta tell you, I don't handle that very well. And that stress, and in those moments, it revealed something to be about myself. I lack patience, and I have a little bit of an empathy deficit. That stress, that hardship, brought that out, showed that to me in those moments. So God uses difficult circumstances in your life to reveal things to you. So are you experiencing difficulty right now? Are you experiencing a level of hardship? And is it revealing something in your life that God needs to work on? Is it coming out? Secondly, is the hardship we cause. Now, maybe you've heard this saying, everything happens for a reason, and sometimes that reason is that you're stupid and you make bad decisions. It's true. At some point, all of us have faced hardship of our own making. Maybe even right now, you are experiencing some sort of self-inflicted hardship. Well, I want to tell you, God is using those consequences. God is using those consequences to draw your attention to a part of you that needs to be addressed. He's giving you an opportunity in this moment to deal with that part of your life that needs to be addressed. The part of your life that has led you to this point. God wants to work in your life. He wants to help you change so that this doesn't happen to you again. Now, it won't be easy, but it will be worth it. So what does it take? What does it take? What does it take to respond to God's discipline? If God is speaking to you, if God is bringing some area of your life to mind, maybe you're already starting to feel the resistance form. So what do you need to do? How do we need to respond to God's discipline? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to put our trust in God. Let me read verses 10 and 11 again. I said, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our own good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We have to trust God. We have to trust that God loves us, that he is disciplining us for our good, and that what results on the other side will be change. You will experience greater holiness, greater righteousness, and greater peace on the other side of discipline. Give that part over to God. Surrender it to him. Declare right now, I am not going to resist your discipline. I'm not going to do it. So what would happen to us if we shifted our view of how we viewed hardship? What would happen if we viewed hardship as an opportunity to change, as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to connect with God in a new and different way? Maybe we would be more mature than we are now. See, God is treating us like a son and a daughter. Maybe we should respond that way. The second thing, the last thing we need to get help. Whenever we're trying to make a change in our lives, we need help. We need to tell somebody else. If God is revealing something to you, if there's something in your life that you know needs change, tell somebody. There's an opportunity on your connection card, on the back. There's an opportunity to talk about some of those things. If you feel comfortable talking about what God wants to change in your life, you can write it down, and the staff this week will be praying for you. And maybe you don't. Maybe it's something you don't feel comfortable sharing with us. That's fine. But talk to somebody. Talk to a friend. Talk to a mentor. Talk to someone from your community group. Talk to your spouse. What is God trying to change in your life? You need to tell somebody else because you need prayer. You need support. And you need accountability as you're trying to deal with whatever's going on in your life. And we would love to provide that for you in any way if we can. You can write down your connection card. You can come talk to any of one of us individually if you're more comfortable doing that. So if you do want to respond, write down that thing that God is asking you to change. Or maybe there's nothing. Maybe right now, nothing's coming to your mind. You're not thinking of a specific area. That's okay. But it will come at some point. And maybe how you can respond today is commit up front to trusting God and leaning into the process of discipline and that discomfort whenever it does come. Commit to doing that right now on the front end so that you can receive God's discipline and you can grow whenever it does come. God loves you as a parent loves a child. And because he loves us, he disciplines us. And if we respond to his discipline well, we will grow. We will mature. We'll become more like him and we'll experience peace. Are you willing to accept his discipline in your life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. And God, we know that you treat us as a parent treats a child. And God, sometimes, for some of us, that may not seem like a pleasant thing. But God, you're not just a parent, you're a good parent. You're the best parent we could possibly have. And so when you choose to discipline us, we can trust that it is for your good, that you have something for us on the other side. And even though it may be unpleasant, even though it may be hard, even though it may be difficult, God, it's worth it. Because you don't want us to stay the same. You don't want sin to proliferate in our lives. You don't want things to come into our lives and jeopardize and threaten our faith. So you discipline us. Thank you for doing that, God. Like many of us who have grown up and come to respect what our parents have done for us, even though it was hard in the moment. God, help us to come to that place where we understand that your discipline is for our good. And instead of resisting, we lean in and we surrender to you. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.